the fourth Sunday after Easter. The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. James. Beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. But you know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, cast aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice. With meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asked me, where art thou going? But because I have spoken to you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you. It is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of justice because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of the world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he will hear, he will speak, and the things that are to come he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine and declare it to you. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Usually, when we speak of the virtues, the virtuous life, we speak about things of great import or magnitude. We talk about courage in facing evil, facing down some difficulty or things like that, or other types of virtues. They're usually in reference to great things, difficulties that we might not experience every day in our lives. So is there a virtue that covers the little things? The little things. Maybe not the great actions, but the little actions that we do every day. Of course, if I'm asking this question, the answer is yes. Now, it is a virtue that probably everyone here has heard of, but unfortunately in today's world, we use it for just one specific aspect. It traditionally covers a lot. So I'm holding back on saying that the name of the virtue, because everyone here will just think about that one specific thing. But I want to make it clear that it covers a multitude of things. It is the virtue which moderates the things of the lesser important. And when we say moderate, we want to be clear that the life of virtue is always the mean, that is the middle between two extremes. We have excess or defect, and then virtue, we strive for the middle thing. And so this virtue strives for the middle and proper way in regards to little things. And what is this virtue, you're asking? Father, what is this virtue? The virtue's name is modesty. Now, for everyone here, modesty usually means things in regards to the sixth and ninth commandments. But St. Thomas Aquinas, and traditionally, modesty means a lot more than that. It is how we carry ourselves in words, actions, and deeds throughout everyday life, the little things. So we can look to some examples. So like, you know, oftentimes you get a group of teenagers together and you know, they might be, especially boys, they might kind of start acting in a certain way. And you might, as an adult, have to go over and say, okay, you know, guys, you have to calm down or something. And they're not doing anything particularly disrespectful or something, but it's not proper action at that time. So maybe it's in class and they're starting to kind of joke around a little bit. You got to say, okay, calm down. Is there a question out? Is there a problem out there? In order to draw them back. That's modesty that they're lacking, because it's not the proper action at that time. You know, oftentimes on sporting events, especially the big sporting events on TV, and I'm not recommending watching sporting events simply because the commercials are usually just absolutely terrible, but I'm sure anyone who's watched them, inevitably, they will zoom in on someone who's dressed ridiculously. He'll have rainbow-colored hair and spikes on his shoulder or something like that and face painted, and everyone gets a little chuckle at that. Oh, yeah. Why are we laughing? Because the person is not dressing with due proportion. They're dressing in a ridiculous way, and that is modesty. It is not proper. Sure, it's a sporting event, and you shouldn't be there in a tuxedo or something, but there is a proper attire, proper comportment, and that's also the same with behaviors at these type of games. There's a proper way in which we conduct ourselves. So modesty, it regulates ordinary matters. And so this is, in particular, in regards to our bodily movements and actions. We have to conduct ourselves becomingly. You know, I know someone who used to umpire Little League games, but they refuse to now because the parents occasionally just get out of control. They're not acting modestly. Look, it's only a game. Don't worry about it. It's fine. But parents sometimes will get out of control. I'm sure we've all heard stories of this. This is modesty. They're not conducting themselves properly. You know, when the bishop came a couple weeks ago, I think it's been about, 6 weeks ago now, when he was at the coffee hour afterwards, and people came up, everyone came up, and we acted in a different way with him. And it was actually very good. It was very modest. It is not proper to approach him in a casual way, do some of these things that kids do, you know, the fist bump or something like that. It's not proper. He has a certain dignity. You might not agree with the decisions he makes or something like that. Nevertheless, the office of bishop demands a certain type of respect. People approached properly, shook his hand, addressed him, and he himself carried himself properly also. It is unfortunate when we see leaders who try to, you know, be more with it or something like that and act in a way that is unbecoming of them. So sometimes I think of an image of one of our bishops. This is an old image where he has this ridiculous hat on. And you just say, you know, you look at it, you say, well, there's something wrong there. What is wrong? It is modesty. He's not carrying himself in due proportion, with due dignity. And so we do this all the time. And then also, this is in regards to, of course, our outward show and dress. Not just our attire, but also our entire lives, our houses or cars or things like that. There is to be a certain degree of modesty. So for someone to go out and purchase a very expensive car, and yet they have trouble feeding their family, that is, it could be a number of different sins, but one of them is it's not modest. They're not carrying themselves in the proper way. Now, there may be people who can purchase expensive cars, and maybe in society they are expected to do that. So we're not saying that expensive cars in and of themselves are bad, but it has to be in due proportion. And so it goes with our clothes. You know, oftentimes, I don't want to pick on the ladies, but sometimes someone could buy some very expensive clothes. So like a handbag or shoes. These aren't in due proportion. Maybe something a little more economical could suit the purposes. You don't need a specific design or label. However, we're not saying that's bad, but with due proportion. If it is beyond your means or if it is ostentatious, this is not being modest. And remember now, what we're talking about has nothing to do with the sixth and the ninth commandments yet. This is just the way we carry ourselves. And so St. Thomas even continues, St. Thomas Aquinas, writing 800 years ago on these things, he talks about modesty in regards to recreation. that there is a requirement, or there is a need, I guess I should say, of recreation, that is, of really, he even uses the word games and a play, and he's referring to recreation, and he's also referring to things like plays, play acting, and things like that. He says, well, are these okay? Can we engage in these activities? The answer is yes, of course, but again, with modesty, with due proportion. And so even though he's writing 800 years ago, times haven't changed that much. Our technology may have changed, but in reality, you know, our movies, television shows, and oftentimes our internet entertainment are nothing more than just plays, just like in the Middle Ages they would go see plays. A movie is nothing more than a photo play, as they used to call it. And so there is a due proportion here. And the proportion, of course, is twofold. First of all, in the extent in which we engage in these things. There is a legitimate period for recreation. You can relax, watch these things, engage in these activities, if it is in due proportion. If you have to be doing something else, if you're addicted to them, so like the student who should be studying because they have a big exam tomorrow but is watching a three-hour epic movie, that is actually a sin against modesty because they're not carrying themselves with due proportion. Maybe a 15-minute break, 20-minute break, but you got to get back to it. The same with adults. Again, there might be something that needs to be done around the house, children need to be taken care of, or something just in regards to work, staying up too late so that someone is, you know, watching a movie or engaging in these things regularly so that then in the morning your work suffers. Again, these are sins against modesty. So in the time and the extent of the time, we can sin against it. But also the content itself, it's important to realize this. I talked about this about 2 months ago. The rule for art is we can show evil in art, that is in movies or even video games or something like that, as long as we show it as evil. So, an old movie is very good at this, a movie from the 40s or 50s. They might show a sin against the Sixth Commandment, or maybe they won't show it, but they will imply it as part of the story. And then ultimately, that sin, then, they pay the price before the end, so that evil is punished. That is fine. We show evil as evil. A sin against the Sixth Commandment is evil. However, nowadays, oftentimes that's not the case. It is actually held up as some good in general, but also oftentimes, you know, too much is shown. Things that occur behind closed doors shouldn't be projected on the screens. And so that in and of itself, that content is evil. But then, in addition to that, showing that there is no consequence to that evil is also wrong. So we have to be careful about the content in regards to the Sixth and Ninth Commandment, but also oftentimes in regards to violence. This is the same for violence. Wanton killing of people in a drama, that can occur. War movie, that can occur. But oftentimes it is the actual visualizing the violence becomes the entertainment. So oftentimes many horror movies, the whole purpose is to, you know, watch these violent acts. And sure, they may be scary, but still, it's not in due proportion. Or some action movie in which things are done immoderately, where we see these things. This is also out of due proportion. And so these are immoderate, as we say, or they're immoderate. And so what applies to theater or movies or television also applies to games. And St. Thomas actually does talk about games, and we can look at this in reference to video games. You know, I've talked about video games in the past just briefly, and the same rules apply to them. You know, many people don't realize this. About 10 years ago, the video game industry exceeded the movie industry in terms of revenue. It is a larger industry than movies. And these are a large segment a large proportion of the recreation in our society. And yet, the same rules apply there. Excessive violence, or violence for violence's sake, is wrong. It's wrong. We shouldn't engage in those activities. And then also, for too much time with these type of games can also be sinful. Is sinful. And then I should also add, and I've mentioned this before, in terms of ages. You know, it's a game, so sometimes you run into men who are in their 20s or 30s who are still playing games regularly. And you say, you know, there's something not right here. It's one thing if you play a game, you know, for half hour with your nephew or something on a Saturday afternoon, but to be playing them regularly, alone or with other adults, is a problem. That is against modesty. We carry ourselves in a certain way, and an adult needs to put off the things of children and to get off these things. So the content we have to look at, and now also I guess I should add, in the video games there can be content contrary to the Sixth Commandment. So we need to set those aside, violence, but also the extent and use. Now, again, modesty is a mean. It would be great to be able to say, in all cases and in all ways, these things are wrong. But that's not the case. It is the mean between two extremes. So this is what makes it hard. Sometimes people want to say, in all cases, these things are bad. But that's really not true virtue. So then we get into, I touched on it earlier, our outward attire or our bodily movements and actions. I mentioned about the bishop. Also, you know, if you think about it, we have to attire ourselves in a certain way. We dress in a certain way to show really our place. We dress not for ourselves, but for others. And this is something that we've forgotten these days. We dress for others. And so if you're ever in a courtroom, you have to conduct yourself in a certain way when the judge enters. All rise for the judge to enter. Why? Because we have to conduct ourselves in a way because he is not just like the rest of us. This notion of complete, perfect equality is wrong. There is inequality, and our dress and our attitude and our the way we carry ourselves should reflect that. So you rise. Even if you go to court to fight a parking ticket, if you're there with your hands in your pocket, oftentimes the bailiff will come up to you and say, "Get your hands out of your pocket." Don't do that in the courtroom. Why? Because it's not proper. It's not the proper way in which you carry yourself in the courtroom. If you ever meet the Queen of England, someone will come to you before. I've never met her, by the way, so I don't know. But someone will tell you how to carry yourself. You are to approach her in this way. You are to do this. This is how things are done. Why is that? It is not really some. It can turn into some stuffy, old-fashioned things that we need to put away, or you know, these are things of the past. No, it is to show that her place in society is different than the rest of us. This is why priests should carry themselves and dress with a certain attire. We don't do it for ourselves. We don't do it for attention for ourselves. But we do it in order to, in a sense, say that there is a difference. Although nowadays many people don't believe that difference. Nevertheless, there is some kind of difference. So we carry ourselves. We dress in a certain way to show this difference. Policemen dress as policemen for a reason. The same thing. And so it is for all of us. When you're in certain circumstances, you dress differently. So here in church, we carry ourselves differently. If someone's in the back and your friend's in the front, you don't hear in church say, "Hey, Joe, hey." No. Everyone knows that's not right. Why isn't it right? Because it's a sin against modesty, how we carry ourselves. That might be the proper behavior out in the coffee hour or at a Little League game or something like that, but not here. We carry ourselves in a certain way. Moderate movements, moderate actions. And so it is with our attire and dress. It has to be properly ordered. Here, we are here not for ourselves. We're here for God. We don't dress for ourselves, we dress for the other. So if we're here for God, then we should dress in that way. You know, the old saying, the English term, or I guess the American term, you put on your Sunday best. Why do you put on your Sunday best? You put it on not for yourself, but for God. The proper way to carry yourself and dress for the circumstances. And so, also, it can be excessive. If someone's here in a tuxedo, that isn't the proper attire for being at church. It's now excessive. However, we could say, well, maybe he's a musician and he's got to go immediately after Mass to do something in which he dresses as a tuxedo. Okay, then that's a different story. But properly speaking, there is a certain way in which we carry ourselves and in which we dress for Mass. And so, also, with outward attire, we need to moderate ourselves in regards to seeking attention. I kind of mentioned this previously, but we don't dress for our own glory, that is, for people to take undue attention towards us. And so we don't wear anything ostentatious or anything like that. You know, as a priest, there's many old things from the Middle Ages, these like Dracula-type capes and things like that that priests used to wear, or at least they look like a Dracula thing. At that time, they were normal. Nowadays, you don't wear them. And so it is also, if someone were to attire themselves in some ostentatious way in order to draw undue attention to themselves, this can be a sin. And it doesn't matter whether it's here or whether it is on the street. We have to carry ourselves with due proportion. Now, that's the excess. We can also do that by defect. Sometimes you see kids with these torn up jeans and things like that. This is, again, a sin against modesty. Why? Because they're not carrying themselves properly. That type of attire is not proper to their state in life. They're usually middle class kids whose parents can afford, pants without holes in them or pants that fit properly around the waist. They're not falling down, or at least can afford a belt. This is actually against modesty. Not modesty in regards to chastity, but again, they're not carrying themselves properly. There is a due proportion, and they're not dressing correctly. And this is important to understand because our society wants to just flush this away. Oh, Father, it doesn't really make that big a difference, does it? Yes, it does. Because we have to carry ourselves as we are. Wearing torn-up jeans is for the homeless people, not for suburban 18-year-old kids. This is a sin by defect. Also, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about we can have a sin against modesty by dressing for our comfort. And this is also with maybe overly silky clothes and that, so that it feels good, but also in regards to our comfort in the sense that I don't want anything binding. I get hot, so Father, I get hot, so I need to wear something very skimpy. No, this is a sin. We dress for the other person. We dress for the other person. We need to carry ourselves properly. To dress for your own comfort is selfish. We dress for the other person to cover ourselves with due proportion. So here in church, it would be great if we could give a very firm rule. And sometimes you find people, especially in traditional places, they'll find some bishop from the 1950s who says, has to be here and here and here. These type of things. This would be then modest attire. No. That really, it's nice to try to set a law like that, but you can't do that. It's not that easy. We have to dress with due proportion so that we're covered, so we're not a distraction to our neighbor. And it could just be a distraction, or even, sometimes in regards to the sixth commandment here in church. We're not here for ourselves. We're not here for our neighbor. We're here for God. So we don't want to distract people from that. So we want to carry ourselves properly with due proportion in our dress. And this doesn't just apply here. This applies in our whole life. So at work, there is proper attire and not proper attire. The same thing, anyone in the workplace. If someone is running a backhoe, they don't go to work in a suit and tie. They have to wear proper clothing. And so also the opposite way. If someone's working in an office, there is an expected attire. Unfortunately, society is doing away with this. But it is a virtue, and it is not something to be taken lightly. The way we carry ourselves in greeting our superiors, there is a certain way in which we have to do that. They are our superiors. We have to dress in a certain way according to our state in life and our place in life. It's modesty. And then finally, of course, I've touched on it many times, modesty is in reference to the way we carry ourselves in regards to the sixth commandment. Both in dress, don't want to dress temptingly so that the other person might commit a mental sin against the sixth commandment or be tempted in an undue manner, or in our actions be a little flirtatious or something like that. Again, the same thing. There's a proper attire and behavior. And so, the virtue which moderates the little things in our life is modesty. It is a virtue that our society wants to do away with. It's really not that important, Father, is it? Yes, it is. St. Therese of Lisieux's little way is just about these type of little things. Sure, she was in a convent, so she didn't have to worry about a lot of the social interactions. Nevertheless, her little way are those little decisions, those little things that we do every day. And they have a greater impact upon our spiritual life than the great once-in-a-lifetime virtuous act that we might do, the great virtuous act of courage that is to greatly be honored if we do something like that. But it's the little things every day. And these things are moderated by modesty. And so let us seek to be moderate in both our attire and our actions, with due proportion for the persons we're with and the places that we are at, so that we can then be truly modest and attain a high degree of holiness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.